the week, so praise the Lord. Because, oh man, we want to raise up a godly generation, don't we? We do. Well, I want to raise up a godly generation, and I've been even praying about it. So I just want to thank our kids' church leaders like Vivian and Rebecca, who's gone for the summer. She's going on a missions trip. Woohoo! Yeah. She's going to Africa. Guatemala. Oh, sorry. She's going to Guatemala and Costa Rica. So she's going to South America to evangelize some people in the jungle. So when people say to you, you know, what about those people in the jungle who never heard the gospel? We'll say, there's somebody from my church who's there right now evangelizing them. Amen. Speaking of which, on next Saturday, hey Phil. Next Saturday, sometime around 8:30, 9 o'clock. Give me a call. I'll actually put it on the internet. I'm going to have a men's breakfast kind of thing. So if you guys want to go to Wimpy's Diner, and we're going to talk about the heart of David and being mighty men and doing exploits for God. Because this church is all about exploits. You know that? We do exploits for God. We go and to a network meeting of 20 churches, and we prophesy over the pastors, and they weep and they break and they get more of God, and then there's lineups till 2 in the morning. We go to the fatherless, and we father the fatherless. And we help the widow and the orphan and the husbandless. We become husband to the husbandless through our helping of the pregnancy care center. Joseph, he's not here today, but you know, he was up yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning doing the prayer for the G8 at the main church. And he also did the evening. And I send him out on lots of exploits. I do. I send him out on all kinds of exploits. And I like to send people out on exploits. Once I got to send Vivian to, where was it? India. And that was a lot of fun. She's like, I want to go to India. I'm like, you're going. And she just went. We made some phone calls and off she went. And we sent Natasha to Africa. And she came back totally blasted. Totally blasted. She has like this high roller job is what I would call it. She works for Rogers and she does all their teaching and training manuals and stuff. So what she decided to do was go to Africa and make all these teaching and training manuals. So now they want her to run the school down there. And she set up a farm down there. And she's doing exploits for God right now. She went down with a container ship full of stuff for these Africans. Woohoo! And that's what we do around here, because we're not just sitting around playing church, but we're going to have an impact. You know, it's interesting. They say there was 300 to 500 people that burned police cars and smashed our city. It wasn't very many people that literally turned the city upside down. You know, I believe that we can turn the city right side up. Anybody believe that? Because you see, that's the difference between not being in Jesus and being in Jesus. When you're not in Jesus, what happens is you get mad about the stuff, that the wrongs that are being done to you and those around you, and you begin to do wrong to other people. He hit me, so I'll hit them. Right? So we really want those people to get saved, because I really believe that the people that need to be in the church usually aren't there. Because I believe that God is looking for passionate people who are rabid about his kingdom. I do believe that God is looking for passionate. My wife and I were just praying that those people get saved. We look at them and we salivate. We said, oh, if only we could turn all that passion into for destruction, into a passion for redemption. Because what happens is when you're in Christ, you actually become the solution to the problem instead of adding to the problem. Because Jesus lives within you and his cross lives within you. And what happens is you see all this stuff that's going around that's bad, and you begin to become the good. You begin to become the healing for it. You begin to become the mercy for it. You begin to become the water that puts out the fire of judgment. And you bring life everywhere you go, because you carry the kingdom of God within you, because the grace that is upon you, and if you're not a Christian, I'll tell you what happens. You ask Jesus Christ to show you the reality of himself. Say, God, Jesus, if you really are God, I would really like you to show me that you're real and that I've sinned. And I know that I've sinned, but I'd like you to forgive me for those sins. And what will happen is, John Wesley describes it as a transformation. I literally feel, I remember when it happened to me, I felt the weight of my sins lift off of my shoulders. And there was a freedom and a joy that I'd never experienced before. They call it inexpressible joy. And there's a peace. And that joy and peace is not meant just for you, but it's meant for the world around you. And that joy and that peace comes, and then God begins to redeem all of the bad things that were done to you through you. I honestly believe that the best people for the church aren't in the church yet. That's why I did evangelism for 6 or 7 years. It's only that the Lord, through evangelism, called me to pray. And you know what? How I ended up getting into the prayer room? Because I was out on the street with 20 people, and I was filling my car with people and bringing them to church. I know it sounds amazing, but it's true. And I read in the Bible that it said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into the harvest. And so I got involved in prayer. So I just started praying for God to send more workers into the harvest. And then from getting involved in prayer, I got involved in discipleship, because I got broken for people that I was praying for. Pastor Derek was one of them. You know, we didn't talk about the whole backstory, but after he came back, we met and we talked a lot, and we a lot of stuff happened. And I have many examples of people who got broken, and then the Lord used them to change things. Wonderful. My friend Travis Duca, one of these days I'm going to have him here too. I have to get a hold of that guy. You know, he sets up churches on campuses. That's what he does. He started out doing the prayer for the flagpole in all the schools. He set it up all across, I think there was 10 schools in Durham Region. Then he went into the campuses, and there was revival in the schools. He started out handing out books and Bibles. You know, one person doing an exploit can change the way things are. And so now the Lord has me actually starting to raise up people to change things. Like Mike, he's not in my cell anymore. But, you know, he's touring with the Newsboys, and he wanted to bring all these Christian artists to Canada so that he could actually raise awareness of the kingdom and encourage the church through worship. And he has this big company that does it now. And of course, well, we always hear about the exploits of Joseph, but that's what we want to do, is we want to raise people up so we can send more workers out for the harvest. You know, and yeah, there is a peace, and there is a joy, and there is a prosperity that comes with that. And sometimes there's a price to pay. But I don't know. God's reward is out of this world. And so I'm going to talk about the reward of God. You know, I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Because you see, he told me that he was going to drop by in an increasing measure this summer. And he has been, actually. The last people who have been here would say, yeah, He's been dropping by. So we're just going to talk a little bit about him. Because last week, I was talking about Jesus Christ, and every time I would talk about Jesus Christ, I'd end up talking about Holy Spirit. And it's interesting about Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father, because a lot of times when you talk about God the Father, he shows you Jesus Christ, and a lot of time when you talk about Jesus Christ, he shows you Holy Spirit, and when you talk about Holy Spirit, he'll end up showing you Jesus Christ. And I once asked my friend, our former mentor, Pastor Doug, why that is, and he says, well, God is so humble that he edifies one, they actually edify one another. They build each other up. They prefer one another. Because he is love. And that just blew me away. Because you know what that means? What that meant to me was that God, the Trinity, or Holy Spirit, edify one another, build up one another, and bless one another. So they actually practice what they preach. They're not big hypocrites in the sky. You ever feel like God's a big hypocrite in the sky? No? That's good. Praise the Lord. That's good. That means it's working. I've gotten to places where things like the G8 would happen. And I'd be like, God, why would you let this happen? Why would you let the children burn in that fire? Or starve in Africa? Or, you know, there's a million things we say, God, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Trust me. When I did evangelism, I still do evangelism. I hear that question a lot. Why do bad things happen to good people? Anybody ever ask that one? Good. Because I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is, it's because God's mercy and grace are so perfect that it's even extended to the bad people who are doing the bad things to the good people. God's mercy is so perfect that it's even extended to them. So the worst sin that you've ever done is how much God loves you. But the worst sin that the world's ever done is how much God loves the world. And the Bible says that his kindness is what leads us to repentance. Isn't that amazing? God put it to me this way. He said, if I was to come in judgment, I would judge them all. And it would be perfect. And one day it will be perfect. But for now, rejoice in my mercy. It's great. Think about that. So God loves those people that much, that he's willing to let them go to the bottom so that they might realize exactly how much he loves them. Because his kindness leads us to repentance. Isn't that amazing? God is good. And he's not a hypocrite. And he's not a mean judge in the sky who wants to hurt us. But he wants to build us up and edify us and release us and have us follow the purpose that we were created for. Because we're not going to find peace any other way. A monster truck cannot find peace on a NASCAR track or a racetrack. It just can't. It's not made for that. Right? Nor can a race car find peace in a monster truck pit. So it wasn't made for that. And you know what? Each and every one of us was created with a purpose. Oh, I'm going too long on this. Every one of us was created with a purpose in Christ. And the only way to really find peace and happiness is through Christ, because he made it that way. He made it so that we have to go to him to find our purpose, so that we might find peace. Isn't that amazing? Anyways, that's enough of me bragging about Jesus. I love doing it. And I can't help it sometimes, because he's so good. So we're going to talk about Holy Spirit. Who is Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity. Almighty God. As I said before, God the Father was so big, he painted a picture and it was the world. And he couldn't fit himself inside that picture, so he decided to draw a picture of himself within the world, paint a picture of himself within the world, and that picture was Jesus Christ. But there's also the paintbrush which he used to create the world, and Jesus Christ. And that paintbrush is none other than the person of Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's that powerful. That's why the Bible talks about redemptive works, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit actually distributes the riches of God in Ephesians 2. He talks about how he actually distributes the riches of God, and by faith we enter in, because it's just like recreative miracles. I don't know if you believe in that or not, but we've had it happen in our church. We've had it happen in my cell, where Joseph's daughter was going in for an operation, and they opened her up, and she was healed. We've had it happen. So, you know, it was there, and it's not there. God just took out the paintbrush. The paintbrush came out and just painted in the miracle. I've had it happen where it's Christmas time, and I don't have any money. And I just finished giving my money to the church, and all of a sudden there's money in my bank account. I don't know where it came from. So those kind of things happen because of Holy Spirit. Because, you see, he is the helper. I used to say that he's like leverage. Leverage works this way. You have a bar, it's like this, and you have a rock, and you have a little... And you have a little rock. We'll say that little rock is Jesus. And you can't lift the weight of your sin off yourself or anybody else. And the little rock would be Jesus. And just some of my street preaching stuff, some of my forklift preaching stuff. And what would happen is, you see, you can try to lift that rock all you want, but it won't move because it's like 500 pounds. But when you have the bar there, and you set it on the little rock, and you put it out. It's funny, the further you go higher up the bar, the more power there is. And it becomes 100, 200, 300, 400 times the power that you could put into lifting that rock. And you just lean down, and up it goes, and rolls out, rolls away. Leverage is a powerful thing. I honestly think of intercession, because I'm a science guy, I think of it as a pulley. You put the rope around the thing, you tie it around, you get on the other side and you pray, and it lifts whatever it is up. And the size of the wheel. Anyways. Point being is that Holy Spirit is powerful. Third person of the Trinity, paintbrush, created the whole world, and Jesus. Well, Jesus was and ever was. But the human part of Jesus he created within Mary's womb. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was in her. Isn't that interesting? The world was created and the Holy Spirit was hovering above the waters. This third person of the Trinity is patient. Now I know he's patient. There was one time where I was frustrated when I was stuck in a sin that I couldn't get out. And I was doing the whole, I'm sorry, God. Repent, do it again. I'm sorry, God. Repent, do it again. Anybody been there? Right? And one day I just broke out in anger because me and God are really close, and we have an open relationship, me and God. I figure he already knows how I feel anyways. He's just waiting for me to tell him. And I said, God, do you know how long I've been waiting for you to deliver me from this sin? God said two things to me. He said, I've been waiting 2,000 years for you to be delivered from this sin. I was like, wow. Okay. From the foundation of the world, I've been waiting for you to be delivered from that sin. Isn't that amazing? I was like, wow, you're patient. And he showed me the root of that sin and showed me how to get out of it. Actually, unfortunately for me, the Lord also said to me, stop being sorry you get caught and start being sorry for what you're doing, and it'll be a lot easier to get out of it. And that's how God works. You know, and he showed me one of the roots to being angry was impatience. So, you know, I was like, wow. He said if I could get more patient, I would be less angry. And he already modeled the patience for me because of the fact that he'd been waiting 2,000 or eons since the beginning of the foundation of the world for me to realize that I had a problem and I needed to control my temper. That's our God. That's Holy Spirit. He really is God and good. And when I know I hate this world, but I'm only going to be stuck here for 80 years, he's been here for 2,000 years. Dealing with people, he's seen it all. Did you know that? And one of my main prayers lately has been, God, show me the hindrances of my life that are holding me back from working, from going forward in the fullness of you. Because if God's perfect, that means that I'm not. Does that make sense? A lot of times in our lives, we think that it's God. But it really isn't, because God's perfect. It's usually us. But until we get to the point where we realize that it's us and not God, God can't work with us. And I believe that God wants to work with many of you. He does. And he's been patient. And he's been kind. And he, you know, when you stumble and you fall and you get mad because you didn't feel like you got delivered, it's okay. You know why? Because he's been waiting longer than you have to see you get the victory. And he wants it better than you do, because he's the one who put the desire to want it in your heart in the first place. You know, what am I doing? What's God doing in this service? I'll tell you what God's doing. The whole reason why I got into ministry was because I wanted to see people stop being spectators and start being players. Because I really believe that we can't win unless we all start working together on the same team. Does that make sense? And that team that we're on is Team Jesus, the body of Christ. It's interesting. If you turn to First Corinthians chapter 12. It's funny. I prayed that I would preach this different. It says, though I say, grace is given to me to everyone among you. Oh, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Basically what it says is, it talks about the body and how the body is made up of different parts. Yeah. I'm going totally off my notes, guys. And that's good, because you know what? I'm not just preaching. I'm sharing. Amen. Yeah, 12, 14, 13, yeah. And basically what it says is that each part is different, but each part needs one another. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. So that means that I can't do it alone. I cannot make the church better alone. I cannot evangelize the city alone. I cannot help pregnancy care centers alone. I cannot do church unity alone with 20 churches. And I hope a lot more churches in the future. I can't do prayer meetings for revival in the city alone. I just can't. Because God created us to need one another and edify one another and build up one another and to prefer one another just like Him. The heart of God. He actually created the gifts or the offices so that we might use the gifts to make us more like Himself, edifying one another and preferring one another. So some of you are called to be evangelists, and some of you are called to be prophets, and some of you are called to be teachers, some of you are called to be greeters and welcomers and encouragers. And yeah, you're supposed to look at one another and envy one another's gifts, but you're also supposed to give them to one another as a church. Isn't that amazing? I love it, because it actually produces fruit. If you turn to is it Galatians 5, you don't have to turn there, but you can. It talks about how, well, the fruit of the Spirit, but we won't go there right now. We'll just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about love being patient, love being kind, love not insisting on its own way and all that stuff. Did you know if someone has a gift that you want, that you need inside of your life, you will become all of those things so they will share that gift with you? This is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. As He transforms us into the image of Christ, or the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And it's mysterious, but it's marvelous. Because he wants to make us like himself. And he's perfect. And he's the answer to our prayers. And the answer to our problems. And I find the deeper I go in God, the more he makes me the answer to my prayers and more the answer to my problems. As he transforms me into his image. How does he do that? I'll tell you how he does that. I've been praying for women who are single and had babies for 15 years. Because my mom was a single mom who had two kids. And we had two mattresses, a couch, and a TV. And we went hungry a lot. I remember going hungry, going to bed hungry. And so it was something that I really, really prayed for. But then I prayed for it, and God put it on my heart, and God put it on other people's hearts. And then now we're helping all these moms. In Oshawa, they took over the pregnancy care center, and they have 200 to 400 moms that they help on a monthly basis. And they not only just give them stuff, but they actually pastor them inside the Ontario Housing Project. And one of my main guys, LeVar, he actually leads that. You see, in the very neighborhood I grew up in, you see how God, as he develops the gift within you, he causes you to edify the body and edify yourself. And then you begin to prefer one another. And not only do you become the answer to your prayers, but you become the answers to other people's prayers. And then you release people into their callings and destiny. Which is why, like, I want to have a men's breakfast and I want to restart my cell group and ask people if they want to come to my cell. But the point is that I really believe that that's what we should be doing as a church. I do. I really believe that. I believe that that's what church is all about. It's about the redemptive power. I'm sorry about the theology. It's not so much theology, it's just I don't have any other words to describe it. They're only good Bible words, and unfortunately, nowadays, good Bible words are old-fashioned. Well, I want to change that. I do. I don't want redemption to be the old word. I want redemption to be the new word that's on everybody's lips. Because when we start to see redemption, we won't have talks anymore about abortion and babies, because we'll have talks about purity and holiness and good marriages and proper relationships. And the Lord will raise us as a society, as a people, from glory to glory. From holiness to holiness. And we will be the head and not the tail. We've experienced this blessing already 300 years ago. Because of the Methodist movement, 80 to 90% of the population was born again Christians and received the Holy Spirit. And you know what they did? They started public schools. They started fair wages. They started a lot of the things that we take for granted now, like minimum wage, all those ideas. They abolished slavery. They got rid of human trafficking. They said all men are created. What happened? Well, when they educated everybody, there was this supernatural, spontaneous ideas started being released, and all these really cool inventions started coming, like electricity, and most of those things that we take for granted now are a result of 18th century thinking. Yeah, there was an explosion of art, blurry art and good art, Renaissance art and Reformation art. But we won't get into art history again. And there was an explosion of all kinds of things that are righteous and good. They abolished child poverty. They abolished slavery. They ended up having what was called the Industrial Revolution. And all kinds of good things came and blessings came. And the church was edified and built up. And for a while, we were the head and not the tail. But unfortunately, it's not that way anymore. But one thing God has taught me over the years is that even though the devil tells the truth, he's a liar. Because God can change the circumstances in a minute. He can. You know, yeah, Midtown is the hot spot and Holy Spirit is pouring out. And he will lead you into the promises of God as you go forward with him. As we listen to him. And we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the very redemption of God for us, for our nation. And that's why God is peace and God is joy. And he's love. And he's hope. And we definitely need more of him inside of us, so that we can give it away to Toronto and to the world. And we're doing that in this church. There's not very many of us here, but we're having a pretty big impact. The Bible says that if you ask Jesus for a drink in a dry place, anybody ever feel like they're in the desert? He will give you a drink and you will become a flood upon a dry ground. There will be floods upon dry grounds. And I believe that we're living in that day where the Lord wants to see springs well up of living water. Put your hand on your belly. I believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I'd encourage you to ask him into your life and into your heart, and ask him to help you to become the solution to the problem you see. The reason why a lot of people don't go to church is because they believe that the church is corrupt. Well, I'm going to challenge you right now. Come to our church and we'll be the anti-corruption for the church as we work together. We just ask Holy Spirit. We ask Jesus Christ to make himself real inside of our lives through the manifestation of Holy Spirit. In other words, God, come into my life and be more real. Awaken me to the spiritual realm. I know that there's ghosts and goblins and witches, but Lord, I pray right now that we would go to the other side. We would see the angels, and we would see the Father, and we would see the Holy Spirit, and we would see the good part of the supernatural. And right now, Lord, I pray that you would spring up a well. A well within us, God. And you would, and it would be living water. Living water. Whoa. And it would bring peace and joy. And that the reality of Jesus Christ inside our lives would become more real than the world is. Because the world is passing away, but you are here forevermore, God. I prayed this prayer for a few years. I still pray it. God, be more real in my life than anything on the face of the planet. That I might know you, God. That I might trust you and do exploits in your name, because your word says those who know their God will do mighty exploits. Ha. And if there's any type of place in your heart where you've said, God, why do good things happen to bad people? And you've been angry at God. Just tell him right now that you're sorry. And praise him for it. Say, thank you, Lord, that when I do the bad thing to the good people, that you love me. And then when the bad people do the bad thing to me, the good people, that you love them. When the bad protesters do the bad thing to the good city, that you love them, God. To the degree of their sin and even more. Ha. Shokura baba baba kubra kete. And today, if you felt jealous of anybody who you felt had the breakthrough, or you felt like you've been passed over, I want you to bless that person. I want you to say, I need that person in my life. Maybe give them a call and ask them to come for coffee or something. I want you to prefer that person. Shah. Next, we're just going to lay hands on one another. If you can, the person behind you or the person beside you. Ask them what their gift is, what they feel their calling is. And if they know, bless them in that gift. And if they don't know, pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal it to them. That they might find that peace and that joy and the purpose which God created them for. So we just praise you, Lord, because you are good. And your mercy endures forever. You are patient. You are kind. You don't insist on your own way. You're long-suffering. You don't rejoice in the bad, but you rejoice in the truth. And Holy Spirit, we want to be more like you. God, we want to be more like you. Make us the answer to our prayers, God. God, use us. We give you permission, Lord, to manifest your mercy through us. When the bad person does the bad thing to the good person, who is us. We give you permission to love them through us, God. Give you permission, Lord. Pour your redemption through us. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Just keep pouring out. I just feel God is starting to release visions to people. some people here, if there's anybody here who hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a reference to candle making. It's the only two Greek reference to baptism is candle making and pickling. Pickling means that you're totally soaked, saturated with vinegar, that you taste like it. It becomes part of you. And candle making means, of course, that there's a little wick and it gets dunked into wax. And every time it gets dunked, it gets stronger and stronger. And the stronger it gets, the more light it's able to disperse. So if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or a refresher of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, keep praying over one another. Be blessed. But just pray. Pray for it right now, for a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. For each other. Holy Spirit, we just pray for that baptism, that you would dunk Midtown, God, in your presence. That we would become pickled by you, God. That we would smell like you. That we would taste like you, God. That you would give us a crunch. Ha! Oh, Lord, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't speak in tongues, start out praising God. Just say, God, you're good. God, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. I thank you, Lord, that you are patient and you are kind. And that you've loved me since the beginning of the world. And I praise you, Lord. And just take a breath in. Holy Spirit. And when you begin to hear that tongue, take another breath in. Let's just let the juice loose. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord.
One thing that I've been meditating on this week is that for some reason God tells us to ask in order to receive. And there's a story that always really bugged me in the Bible, is Jacob's blessing. Even though he was deceitful in asking for the blessing, he lied to his brother and his father. God gave him the blessing because he was earnestly seeking it. He wanted it more. He valued it more than his brother. You know, and it's all over the Bible where God gives things, gives anointing, gives gifts to those who ask. So this week, just meditate on that and search your heart. You know, is there things in your life that you know you really need, but you're not really seeking for it, you're not really pressing in for it, you're kind of just waiting. Sometimes we have that you know, that attitude that we just, oh no, if God wants to give it to me, he'll just give it to me. But God doesn't want anything to go to waste. So he doesn't give things to everyone and just, you know, hope they'll receive it. He gives things to those who ask and who really want it. So this week, if you really want Holy Spirit, if you really want more anointing in your life, if you really want more of him, ask him. Ask him like you really want it, you know? And he'll give it to you. So have a really good week, Midtown. We'll see you next week. And be blessed. And don't forget the G77 at Castrofire Airport this afternoon if you want to go. And ask for Holy Spirit to come down on our world leaders. Amen.
For the men out there, Wimpy's Diner. 8:30. Men's breakfast, Mighty Men. Come on out. We'll have some eggs and some bacon and some Holy Spirit. Amen. Next weekend. Saturday. Saturday is already passed. So this Saturday. Yeah. No, this Saturday. Saturday before you come to church. Blessings, guys. Thanks.